Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live here on Football Full Circle. It's FFC on a Tuesday in late June, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Today is Win Total Tuesday. We'll break down a couple of win totals that catch our eyes here in the football offseason, whether it's a college football team win total or perhaps in the National Football League. A couple of teams, Joe, that we have circled on our calendar as we project out a new football season, whether we like the over or the under, or we just want to bring it up for a discussion point as we forecast a new year. We will break it down today on FFC. Lisi Guy, glad to have you here, as always, on Football Full Circle.
Well, I think we should call it the Triple T, Ben. How about Team Total Tuesday? What do you think about that in terms of the win totals? But I tell you what, once we start talking about win totals and obviously futures markets for both the NFL and college football, we know that the season is on the horizon. This is what it's all about, the final stretch run before obviously training camps and obviously fall prep for the college teams. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of juicy, I use K-Dubs' term, juicy team totals that I have my eye on in both the NFL and the college futures.
It is very interesting to bring up, Joe Lisi. The reason I think team total can be confusing is sometimes in individual games, of course, for that team to score the amount of points or runs to go over their team total, that's what it's more known as. Win total, whatever you want to call it, Joe. I like the alliteration. Team Total Tuesday, Triple T or Win Total Tuesday here on FFC. And Lisi, as we get ready for a new college football season, listen, the fall sports schedule is what is up next. The 2022-23 college athletics schedule for the academic school year that was 2022-23 is now officially in the books. The final collegiate athletic contest of the year happened last night in Omaha, Nebraska. The 2023 Men's College World Series finals in the final game of that series, game three between LSU and Florida. Joe, two SEC teams facing off for a national championship. LSU emerges victorious. The seventh national championship in the history of Bayou Bengals baseball. And Joe, what I think is interesting, a couple of points here. The SEC's dominance really across the four major revenue sports on the collegiate landscape: football, men's and women's college basketball, and baseball, and where they have stacked up in the last few years. And then on top of that, Joe, a trend in LSU athletics over the last couple of years, but certainly this year, that maybe forecast a bright future for Brian Kelly and the Tigers entering 2023. Joe, I want to read this off to you here. In the past three academic school years, dating back to the start of 2020-21, the SEC has won eight national championships out of the available 16. Alabama football 2020, Mississippi State baseball 2021, Georgia football 2021, 2022, South Carolina women's basketball 2022, Ole Miss baseball 2022, LSU women's basketball 2023, LSU baseball 2023 as well. Baylor and Kansas, they won for the Big 12 in men's basketball in 2021 and 2022. Of course, UConn this past year for the Big East, and Stanford basketball in 2023. Joe, it has been dominated by the SEC here in years as of late. It's really the strength of the conference overall.
It really is, and it was a beatdown last night, a little bit anticlimactic. But to your point, yeah. You know, I always believe, and I've said this, that Nick Saban and Alabama, their dominance, six national championships, really obviously brought a lot of eyes on the conference. We always knew that the Southeastern Conference was, you know, just as good as any conference in college football. We've always stated that offense and defensive line play is above where the other conferences are and the dominance in terms of the national championships. But outside of college football, Ben, that trickles down. I've always said the success of Nate Oates at Alabama, right, really came from Alabama football with Nick Saban. I mean, if you can't recruit right after the football season from the basketball program, I mean, what are you doing there? It's an easy sell. Come to Alabama. Let's bring Alabama basketball back to the pinnacle of where, obviously, the football program is. So you're seeing that now with LSU in terms of the women's basketball and the men's baseball. You're seeing it with the dominance a couple of years ago with Ole Miss and then South Carolina on the women's side. So that's what the football programs within the conference bring from a monetary aspect, but also from a recruiting aspect as well. Now with NIL, the potential to capitalize on the success within the conference for the other programs is where it's all about.
Lisey, 8 of the 12 available national championships in the 4 major revenue sports over the past 3 years have gone to the SEC. That is 75% of the eventual national champions, all from the same conference. Maybe it just means more when it comes to national titles. And Joe, the other point being, Kim Mulkey for LSU women's basketball, a national championship in her second year at the helm of that program in Baton Rouge. Jay Johnson, a national championship at the head baseball coast for LSU in his second year at the helm. Brian Kelly, after an SEC West divisional title, is about to enter year two in Baton Rouge, Joe. Maybe there is something in the water about second-year head coaches for LSU being able to step up. That is something that we will maybe forecast to see here, Lisey Guy, as we get ready for a new college football season. And we'll focus on win totals for college football on Win Total Tuesday, up next here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Come back and join us. He's the mastermind of the pigskin, Joe Lisey. I'm Ben Stevens. We're back in just a few.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisey and Ben Stevens.
We're back here on FFC live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. It's Team Total Tuesday, Triple T, or Win Total Tuesday, live right here on FFC. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That's Joe Lisey. So whether it's the National Football League or college football, as we get ready for a new season in both, if there is a win total out there that catches Lisey's eye, he will detail it for you here. I will try to do the same. We will discuss. We will find some profitability here in the summer months when it comes to football. So, Lisey, as you look all around, have you locked in any win total bets yet for a new college football season?
I've locked them in. I haven't bet them yet. I've bet in conference champions, and I bet to the odds to make the playoffs, but I haven't jumped in to win totals just yet. I know the teams I want to take. I just haven't gotten around to putting down the bets. I'll probably do that tonight, but, I mean, I'll jump right here. I mean, you want to start with college or you want to start with the NFL? In regards to the win totals,
let's start with college, Lisey Guy. There's a lot going on in college sports right now. It's the next thing up in college athletics following the end of this academic year. I'd say we start with college.
All right. How about we look at the Ole Miss Rebels at 7.5 wins in regards to that? I'm going to say this. 7.5 wins minus 124 to the over. I believe this team has the potential to be a 10-win football team. Just when you look at the physicality of the offensive line, you look at their star running back, Evans, averaging well over 200 rushing yards per game. Jackson Dart, the first-year starter in Oxford last year, got his feet wet. They get blown out by Texas Tech in terms of the bowl game, but they add Spencer Sanders. And at the end of the day, I believe Spencer Sanders will be the starter come week number one over Jackson Dart, played in the spring game. His versatility, his ability in terms of the RPO game, and if that defense, in my opinion, which could take the next step, just the next step, they were very good in run support, but if they could just elevate just a little bit more, I think they're going to potentially challenge for an SEC West title.
Joe, when you look at Ole Miss, they have gone over 7.5 wins in each of the past 2 years. 8 wins last year in the regular season for Lane Kiffin and the Rebs. They had 10 wins 2 years ago when they were expected to be that contender with Matt Corral in the SEC West to knock off Alabama. That did not come to fruition, Joe, but a safe bet over 7.5. You mentioned the name Zach Evans. I would also bring up Quinshon Judkins, the freshman last year in Oxford, who was sensational on the ground. A big play threat every time he touched the football. And often, Joe, when you think of Lane Kiffin's offense, you think passing attack at full throttle. Really, it was the ground game that paced the running Rebs a season ago. A top 10 rushing offense in all of college football, led by Judkins and Evans at times throughout the year. And I think when you add in the consistency and the veteran experience of Spencer Sanders, yes, is there a certain ceiling he failed to reach in at Oklahoma State? Potentially in Stillwater, right, Joe? But is there a consistency and a level of pedigree that he will take with him to the SEC? I certainly think so. Joe, I like the look of over 7.5 wins for Ole Miss. The schedule is difficult. They have Tulane in the non-conference, right? They're playing in New Orleans in that game. But there are other two non-conference games that they have early on in September, Mercer and Georgia Tech. You would expect Ole Miss to run through those with very little issue. They have Louisiana Monroe later on in November, that game week number 11 of the college football season where the SEC always schedules a weird non-conference opponent. And they have Vandy as one of their other crossover opponents in the final 2 years of the SEC, or the final year, I should say, of the SEC division. So there's a couple of wins there, Joe, that you think are absolute guarantees for the running Rebs. That game against Tulane, week number 2 of the college football season in the Big Easy, is going to be a really good litmus test of this running Rebels team to start.
It really is. And again, you mentioned Judkins and the physicality of the offensive line. That's where they built their MO now. You know, shocking with Lane Kiffin when you just think about Matt Corral a couple of seasons ago and then last year with obviously Jackson Dart, right? You think it would be wide open. You think it would be just, you know, throw 50, 60 times per game. But that really hasn't been the MO of Ole Miss over the past couple of seasons. They've typically played down in terms of lower scoring games under Lane Kiffin for the most part, right? Right? So at the end of the day, that's why I think it all hinges on the defense. The non-conference schedule is going to be easy. They got to obviously play Alabama in Tuscaloosa. They had Alabama on the ropes last year with Bryce Young and let that ball game slip in the final 2 minutes. They lose 30-24, and by the time the ball game comes around, I think they were just completely gassed in that type of situation. But at the end of the day, I think they have the potential as an outside shot too to win the West. Again, you know, they're getting great odds. 7.5 is just light. And Lane Kiffin now is at the point where he needs to really elevate, right? You brought Lane Kiffin in not just for respectability. You brought him there to challenge Nick Saban because of his offensive mind and to have the trajectory that we see, obviously, with Josh Heupel and Tennessee and the SEC East. They were able to knock off Alabama in year number one.
Joe, when you think about the Ole Miss win total over 7.5, I think you bring up a great point, right? If you are pretty adamant that the running Rebs go over 7.5 wins, at least posting 8. Yeah, maybe some of that comes from a weaker non-conference slate, even including that game week number 2 against Tulane. Maybe it's not the easiest SEC slate where we see 4 losses out of the 8 conference games they play if you project an 8-4 schedule and they're unbeaten in their non-conference slate. But Joe, if you're pretty adamant, let's talk talk correlation here. If you're pretty confident the Revs go over 7.5 wins, they post at least 8 with a chance of being a 9 or 10 win football team. Why do you then look at their odds to win the SEC West and be a true conference contender?
No, I look at both, but we're talking
How do you correlate those two, right? What's the thought process behind the idea that, hey, if I think Ole Miss is an 8 or 9 win football team, it's worth a shot for me then at a 21-1 price to win the SEC West?
Yeah, it certainly is. And you make the same correlation on the East with South Carolina, right? We talked about the potential them being a dark horse at 14-1. You're getting those type of odds. Obviously, the 7.5 is the first hurdle. If they clear that and you look at the schedule, the way it shapes up, they could be 5-0, 6-0 before they face off against Alabama. And then all of a sudden, now you're cooking with gas, right? The potential to carry the momentum through the middle part of the season. That's what you really want. That's what we had with the Vanderbilt bet last year, right? They started fast, and that momentum carried them through, straight through a low total. Same thing, obviously, with Ole Miss. Yes, the 7.5 is appealing at -124 to the over, but honestly, I look at this team as, again, 10 wins, and then, you know what, can I catch lightning in a bottle with potentially an outside shot to maybe crack the college football playoff or even win the SEC West and then capture an SEC title for that matter? That's the way I would play it.
Listen, there are so many different ways of looking at all of these markets we have available right now in the CFB offseason, right? There's the very individual aspect of looking at Ole Miss going over 7.5 wins, incorporating the non-conference and the conference slate accordingly, but knowing that playing in the SEC is always a tall order. So if they can win their 4 non-conference games, the Rebs halfway there to going over their team win total. That's very individual. That's regular season accolades based on the results that you have in the 12 games you are scheduled to play. It does not necessarily mean that if they're 8-4, they're contending for the SEC West or even in the top 3 of that division. But there is the thought then, if they are able to do that, that's a regular season price based on a great regular season. Then there's a thought of one more step upon that. If they're going to contend for the SEC West Divisional Championship, then they are going to play in the SEC Championship game. If they're going to be there, there's a great shot, as we know, based on pedigree and experience and sample size, that the Rebs would have a chance of making the college football playoff. There's all of these opportunities, let's say, Joe, to find a bet that you like and make it make sense across many markets. It's a long shot, and I think Lisi is cognizant of that, that at 20-1, Joe, the Running Rebels are not necessarily the favorites, of course, to win the SEC West. It's Alabama at -105, and LSU in front of them at 2-1, and Texas A&M in front of Ole Miss even still at 5-1. But it's all the thinking of where you can find your profitabilities and angles of attack at this point in late June in the early off season. We'll continue to keep it rolling here on Win Total Tuesday on FFC. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's TWT, Team Win Total Tuesday. So WTT, Win Total. Anyway, you know what the gist is here on Football Full Circle. Triple T, as Lisi calls it, Team Total Tuesday. All right, Lisi, you gave out your first win total that you like in college football this year. Ole Miss over 7.5. The juice to the over slightly at -124. I have one, Joe, that I think you are a fan of as well, that I have already bet. I have bet 3 win totals across the board already in college football. Actually, make that 4 across college football and the NFL. 3 in college football. I'll name them as we go along. And 1 in the National Football League that I will share. But this is one of the 3 in CFB. Penn State over 9.5 wins, -138. I'm a firm believer in what the Nittany Lions will have this year in Happy Valley under James Franklin. Drew Aller, the new quarterback, stepping in for Sean Clifford after a long and historic career at the helm of Penn State. And what does Aller have? Well, some of the most potential we have seen at the quarterback spot for the Nittany Lions in a very long time. Everybody has raved about what he has done, and in his time last year, where he played 2 series or more, there is a proven experience experience, Joe, that I think he will draw upon entering 2023. He also has some of the best weapons you will find in the Big Ten. Maybe the best backfield in the Big Ten, not named Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. I think there is a shot that Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen might be the cream of the crop as well. And then Olu Fashanu, Joe, who I think is going to be a top five pick in next year's 2024 NFL draft. He is one of the best offensive linemen in all of the sport. Manny Diaz on the other side of the football, the defensive coordinator for Penn State, returns a ton of talent in all three levels of his defense. This is the year, Joe Lisi, after winning 10 games in the regular season last year. There are only two losses, Ohio State and Michigan. I think Penn State can at least pull off the same this upcoming season and be a 10-win team, over 9.5. But, Joe, I don't think it stops there. I have Penn State winning the Big Ten East, causing a shakeup in that division. Give me the Nittany Lions over 9.5 wins.
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further. I'm in with you, but I'll go with the Big Ten Championship at 6-1 and potentially to crack the college football playoff right now in terms of a dark horse at 440. How about that? Plus 440 for Penn State right behind Clemson. I believe that they have the opportunity to do that. You know, and when they get Michigan at home, that's a make it or break it game. They didn't step up in the second half of that matchup, gave up 400 yards of total offense to Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. They were there within striking distance, trailed by 6 points at the half, and all of a sudden, the defense basically just caved in. They had Ohio State on the ropes. Sean Clifford imploded in the fourth quarter, and we know how that goes. Yep. But outside of that, they can play toe-to-toe with anybody, and when you have a rushing attack, like you mentioned with Katron Allen and Singleton, that could just wear teams down at the point of attack. They went on the road in the Plains in Auburn. Even though Auburn was mediocre last year, that was still an SEC-caliber defensive front, and they absolutely pasted them and abused them at the point of attack for over 200 yards on the ground. And their defense, I'll tell you what, was up to the task in terms of run support and pass defense. If that's the way they're going to play defense this year under Manny Diaz, I'm with you. Plus 440, I think they make the college football playoff. I think they have an outside chance to be the best team this year with Aller at the helm over Sean Clifford.
Joe, it's a really good point. If they make it to the Big Ten championship game by way of winning the Big Ten East, there's a really good shot Penn State will be seen favorably from the College Football Playoff Committee, because you don't expect, Joe, a 9-3 Penn State to be in the Big Ten championship game over Ohio State and Michigan, because the both had bad years. That probably means Penn State's at least an 11-1 football team with a win over either Michigan or Ohio State. Now, when you look at Penn State's schedule, it's not all that difficult at this moment. I think, Joe, where things stack up for the Nittany Lions, they actually have a really good chance this year to have a very successful year on the gridiron. Here's why I say such a thing. Penn State, where things stand currently in terms of what they get against the Big Ten East schools that they are going to need to play, Ohio State and Michigan. They're on the road in the shoe against Ohio State middle of October. They're already booked as a 10.5 point underdog. That is not easy. Do not get me wrong. However, outside of that, Joe, they get Michigan at home. The reason I bring that up, in the series history between Michigan and Penn State, dating back to really their entire time, but since 2008, Joe, as they've been Big Ten opponents, Penn State is 5-2 against Michigan in State College inside Beaver Stadium. And let's look back over the past couple of years, dating back to 2010, the last 13 years or so, the margin of victory in this series for the team at home has been substantial. Penn State 41-31 over Michigan in 2010. You even look last year. The game was in Ann Arbor, right? Michigan runs all over Penn State. They win 41-17. 2019, in-state college, 28-21, the victory for Penn State. 2017, in-state college, Penn State over Michigan. It was a top 20 tilt, 42-13. The following year, back in Ann Arbor, the Wolverines win 42-7. Home field advantage, Joe, has mattered so much in this series history between the two, and not just by a point, a couple of points. The margin of victory has been so substantial, home versus road splits in this series. The Penn State having Michigan at home this year in Happy Valley, I think, is a tremendous benefit for the Nittany Lions entering 2023.
Yeah, they've only lost 8 home games, Penn State has, since 2016. I think their record is like 37-8 straight up at home in Beaver Stadium, maybe even 39-8. So they are a dominant home team. They beat up on MAC opponents, you know, hands down. And they, again, when they have Michigan or the big boys in their house, they step up. At the end of the day, it's those other games where they sort of limp to the finish line. A couple years ago against Michigan State at the end of the year, right? You know, everything's in front of them. They lose a couple of seasons ago. So those are the teams they need to worry about, right? If you get the victory over Michigan in the middle part of the year, you can't slip up. You can't lose your focus. You have to have the focus from the start of the year to the end of the year. And again, as long as they're playing at home, I'm with you. Look at that game with Ohio State. I mean, if Clifford doesn't implode, I mean, basically with 8 minutes left, they were in a one-score game with C.J. Stroud and the Ohio State Buckeyes. If it wasn't for the fumble, the pick six, I mean, that game turned around in a matter of seconds. So as long as they could do that, they're going to be there from start to finish. And let's not forget, they probably have the advantage, I would say, at least at this point, from a quarterback perspective over the Ohio State Buckeyes because of experience with Aller at the helm.
You would think so. Drew Aller doesn't have a ton of experience, Joe, but he will more than likely have more experience than whoever Ohio State trots out there to be their quarterback this year. We expect it to be Kyle McCord. He has not really done much during his time in Columbus. It doesn't mean he doesn't have all the pieces he needs to be successful. You look at their backfield. You have Mayan Williams back, Travion Henderson back, and of course, probably the best wide receiver room in all the country with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Egbuka back in Columbus. This is not to say Kyle McCord, by that time of the year, middle of October, will not find the success necessary for Ohio State to knock off and handle Penn State. You certainly would think that would be the case. I'm just saying overall, Joe, when things stack up for Penn State this year, if there was going to be a season for James Franklin to get past Ohio State and Michigan, this would be the one. It's a 5-1 number, Joe, for Penn State to win the Big Ten East, by the way. You mentioned their price to win the Big Ten title. It's 6-1. Why is there such a small disparity between the two? Well, we've had 9 years now of the East versus the West in the Big Ten. This will be the final year of it. The Big Ten East has won the Big Ten championship 9 of 9 years. So if you win the East, if your names are Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State, Michigan State did win it 1 year as well. If you win the East, oftentimes, Joe, in fact, every time, you have won the Big Ten title game. Something to keep in mind as you correlate the optimism that we have for Penn State going over 9.5 wins, Joe, to the other postseason markets that are available.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I'm with you. It's now or never. They don't get over the hump this year, Ben, from a mental aspect. You got to believe that James Franklin's going to feel the heat, not being able to win a big game. And at the end of the day, will the fan base obviously, you know, push to a different head coach? We've seen it before. I'm not suggesting that, but everything is ripe for them. Obviously, Michigan in your house, Ohio State with the quarterback change, and obviously you have an experienced backfield, a second-year defensive coordinator. Everything is there for the taking, but now you have to go and seize that opportunity. You can't let it slip, so it's now or never for Penn State. I'm with you, but I'll tell you what, I'm buying in. I already have them in terms of the futures, not for obviously the win total. I have them for the Big Ten, I have them for the college football playoff, and I have them for a national championship outside shot.
I think it's interesting, Joe. I wonder where that juice goes. When I bet it was minus 138 to the over, I thought, okay, that's fine by me. But I wonder if the optimism continues to build for Penn State, what the juice to the over of that win total looks like next month, maybe even in late August. All right, Lisa, your next win total. You told me when you were trying to sell this to me that you would sell me on the win total and you think I would buy in. Give me the team. Give me which way we're going.
Well, I'm a homer, and Carver says it all the time with Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy, but I think the schedule, I mean, their total right now is 6.5, okay? They're basically 200-1, I believe, or 250-1 to win the national championship, 60-1 to win the Big 12. Look at this schedule. Central Arkansas, at Arizona State with Kenny Dillingham and Drew Pine, South Alabama, at Iowa State, a team that was 1-8 in the Big 12 last year, Kansas State with no Deuce Vaughn, and obviously Will Howard. Kansas at West Virginia, Cincy, OU, UCF, Houston, and BYU. Plus 116 to the over.
We're going to have to examine that for the Pokes. Up next, can Lisi sell me on taking a little plus money to the over of Oklahoma State's win total for 2023? Find out next, right here on Win Total Tuesday, live on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Win Total Tuesday, WTT or Triple T, Team Total Tuesday on FFC. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi is trying to convince me right now to bet the over with some plus money of the 6.5 win total for Oklahoma State in 2023. What will Mike Gundy and the Cowboys have in Stillwater this upcoming college football season? All right, Lisi, continue the pitch of why I should bet over 6.5 wins.
Well, number one, we talked about this team playing in the Big 12 championship a couple of seasons ago. Baylor, you know, obviously held them on the fourth quarter stand and four goal line stand. But at the end of the day, Mike Gundy is recruited just as well as anybody within the conference. Now, I understand the attrition, obviously, after Jim Knowles left and a lot of transfers. But at the end of the day, Alan Bowman comes, by the way, at Texas Tech in Michigan. He's a pocket passer, a guy that could stretch defenses over the top. And I think that's what Oklahoma State lacked in some of the big games last year. Secondly, I look at Nardo, the new defensive coordinator. I think he'll coach this team up. I don't think Derek Mason did a good job with the talent around him. Didn't do a good job at Auburn in his first year, and that's why he left Dodge, right? And went to Stillwater, started fast, but at the end of the day in big games did not make adjustments. Oklahoma State, from a schedule perspective, I said it, Central Arkansas at ASU, they beat them last year. South Alabama and an Iowa State team that I think is going the other way. I think they start 4-0 to start the year, and then they could maybe pick up wins against KU, West Virginia, Cincinnati, definitely Houston, in my opinion, and BYU. There's 10 wins right there.
Wait, hold on. 10 wins?
Well, 9, 10 wins. 10? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and BYU is 10. Yeah, I have them only losing to Kansas State and potentially Oklahoma.
So you think Oklahoma State, the Pokes, are going 10-2 in Big 12 play this year?
10-2, not in Big 12. Well, I think
overall,
two conference losses. Yeah, yeah. Why not? Yeah. I mean,
that's
why
interesting.
Not? I mean, at the end of the day, Ben, you look at last year's games. They beat Texas. That's the team to obviously win the Big 12, right? They went toe-to-toe with every team on their schedule, right? They beat Texas Tech. They beat Baylor. So they lost by 3 in double overtime to Max Duggan and TCU. The only game they got actually kicked in the teeth was the letdown game against Kansas State, right? And we saw at that particular time, they were just a gassed football team. But at the end of the day, you're telling me they can't go toe-to-toe with all those teams with Alan Bowman at the helm? I think they can.
All right. You've convinced me, Joe Lisi. I'm going to bet Oklahoma State because of the weakness of the schedule, I will say, over 6.5 wins at plus money, plus 116. I look forward to riding with you, Joe, as we did last year on Vanderbilt, over 2.5 wins. Now, here's where I think Oklahoma State is going to be. I don't think the Iowa State game at Jack Trice in Ames, a difficult place to play, will be as easy as you expect. The Cyclones last year, a 4-8 football team, I get that. Their 8 losses in Big 12 play, 6 of them decided by just a single score. That was Iowa State a season ago. I do think Iowa State will be better this year. I think another year of Hunter Deckers will be important for Matt Campbell. Are they going to be a 7-5, 8-4 football team? No. Their win total is 5.5. That's the expectation for the Clones in Ames. I don't necessarily know if Oklahoma State starts off 4-0, but let's call it 3-1. We're already almost halfway. The games, Joe, that would be the toughest on Oklahoma State's Big 12 schedule, in my estimation, all happen in Stillwater. K-State, Kansas, Oklahoma, all in Stillwater. They play some of the newcomers to the Big 12 on the road at UCF, a difficult game. I think you think the Central Florida Knights are going to be good. I would happen to agree. I still think Oklahoma State certainly has the edge over Houston. But their road games in Big 12 play, Joe, outside of Iowa State, not overly difficult. West Virginia, I don't think, is going to have a very good year. UCF, like we mentioned, not necessarily a perennial powerhouse. At least we're not entirely sure what that jump looks like to Big 12 conference action, and at Houston. So the most difficult games, Joe, all at home. K-State, Oklahoma, namely, they get Bedlam in Stillwater first weekend of November after homecoming, back-to-back weeks in Stillwater against Cincinnati. I do think the schedule lines up, Joe, for Oklahoma State and the Pokes to go over 6.5 wins. Will they be a double-digit win football team as you anticipate? I'm not so sure, but can they get to 7? I believe so.
Yeah, plus 115, 116. We're sprinkling positive money at you, Ben. Here's what I did, too, in terms of we talk about, obviously, big picture, right? National championship odds. You want to take a shot on an outside chance about if you believe that they could get over their win total and potentially win the Big 12, 250-1 to win the national championship, just like TCU, if not longer. Oof. And that's just based off of, you know, that if they win the Big 12, they have one loss, they're potentially knocking down that college football playoff door.
Yeah, and we thought they were going to do that 2 years ago when they came up just inches away from winning the Big 12 championship game against Baylor, a couple of costly Mike Gundy decisions, and Oklahoma State doesn't win the Big 12. They don't make it to the college football playoff. Their new conference foe in Cincinnati does. All right, Joe, you talked 6.5 win total for a team where the over has plus money. Let me introduce another one of my win totals I have already bet. That is Duke over 6.5 wins. Yes, Duke football over 6.5 wins. The reason being, Joe, Riley Leonard is back. What Mike Elko did in his opening year in Durham, I believe he will replicate next year. The defense was so improved under Elko. I think it takes another step. And when you are going to give me the starting quarterback returning in a win total of 6.5 for a team last year that won 8 games, Joe Lisi, in the regular season. 8 games in the regular season for Duke, capped off by a 9th with a victory over Central Florida in the Armed Forces or the Military Bowl. I will take that all the time. I don't think the schedule is overly difficult. They have Clemson the opening week. I think it's a great litmus test for Duke, that game in Durham. I don't think that's one of the 7 wins I anticipate Duke getting. Then they get Lafayette the next weekend. Then they get Northwestern. Then they're at UConn. All right, give me 3 of those. Notre Dame the following weekend at home, I do not think is a win for the Blue Devils. But coming off a bye, they get an NC State team on a downward trajectory. They have to play at Florida State and at Louisville. 2 very tough games. But they get Wake Forest at home. I don't think North Carolina is going to be as good this year. At Virginia, who I'm not incredibly high on either, and Pitt at home. In there, Joe, I believe there are 7 wins at least for Duke because of Riley Leonard returning and because of the strides we saw Mike Elko take in year number 1. I only expect more in his second year in Durham. Give me Duke over 6.5 wins, Joe.
Well, I'm gonna say tread lightly. I'm gonna take a I think here's the problem when I look at this as a whole. Yeah. Obviously, Clemson, you get 6 months of preparation. That's great. We saw Clemson start against Georgia Tech last year. They started. It was a very close game, and in the second half, they pulled away. Hopefully, they could potentially pull that ball game out. But let's give them a loss, right? Lafayette win. We'll give them the win against Patty Fitz and Northwestern, which is never easy, even how atrocious Northwestern was last year. And we'll give them the win against UConn. Here's the gauntlet. You face Sam Hartman, Brennan Armstrong, Jordan Travis, and Jack Plummer, and obviously Jeff Brohm in terms of Louisville, right? Those are going to be difficult ball games. We'll give them the Louisville game, okay? Now you still have 4 losses. Drake May, on the road in Chapel Hill, you know it's a rivalry game, right? That's tough. Yep. And then Djokovic against Pittsburgh. I think it goes right down to the wire. I say I think the problem is for me is that last year Duke overexceeded because of how good Mike Elko was in terms of a first-year head coach. They're not going to take anybody by storm this year. Everybody will be prepped and ready. And so if I had to bet this, I would lean to the under or no play.
I think, Joe, when I look at this right now, I really do believe that Mike Elko only expands on what he did last year. There is so much returning production for Duke on both sides of the football, in my estimation, led by their quarterback who accounted for so much last year. Riley Leonard, over 2,700 yards throwing the football, 20 passing scores. He was their leading rusher on the ground at nearly 700 rushing yards a season ago. Added in a bunch more scores there. I believe in this Duke team. I do. It's crazy to say that I have an idea that Duke is going to go over 6.5 wins. You bring up all the faults of Duke's schedule. I get it. That's why the over is plus money. Am I sold on Jeff Brohm and Louisville in their first year? Not necessarily. I think Duke has an opportunity to win that game in Louisville. Florida State has the most returning production in college football. I'm incredibly high on FSU, Joe, as you are as well. 87% of a team that won 10 games last year under Mike Norvell, including that bowl win for the Noles, is back. That's going to be a Duke loss in Tallahassee. I don't really care about Virginia. I think that's a win. And give me Pitt at home for the game that might decide it, Joe. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Duke probably being favored in that regular season finale, but with plus 126 on the line. I really believe in this Blue Devils team, Joe. I think there's an expectation times, right, when teams overperform on what we were expecting out of them a season prior for them to come back down to the norm. That's fine. But when you have key pieces in place, head coach, quarterback, back for you, and all that returning talent, I think sometimes, Joe, we don't give enough benefit of the doubt to the idea that this team only continues to improve. I think Duke is able to do that in 2023. I'm going to take the over of 6.5, Joe, at plus 126. I know you're not with me, and that's okay, like I am with you on Oklahoma State, but I'm taking the Blue Devils over 6.5.
No, and you make great points, right? You want to see that consistency. I will just say this, and you're absolutely right in terms of what you bring up, in terms of obviously the leap from year one to year two. They were 9-4 last year, right? The only thing is that if they limp back down to, let's say, 6-6, that's still a win for Duke football, right? Getting to a bowl game. So the expectation level, even though it's Duke basketball versus Duke football, is, hey, just maintain, continue to go to bowl games, just the way, like, I want to equate Duke football to, like, NC State football, right? Yeah, obviously, you're going to be good. You're not going to be elite. And I think that that's what you want to see. That's where Cutcliffe got them, right? Now, can Elko elevate them to potentially challenge to an ACC championship? If he could do that, he ain't going to be there very long.
Yeah, and we'll see exactly how that looks. If Mike Elko has another 8 or 9 win season for Duke, he is going to be one of the hottest coaching names, Joe, in the cycle next offseason. It's a really good point. But I ride with Riley Leonard and Mike Elko one more time in 2023 over 6.5 wins. It gives me a rooting interest in the Duke Blue Devils, Joe. Whoever thought I would say those words. But it's football, so that's fine. And they don't play my Syracuse Orange this year, so we don't even have to care about beating SU. All right, Lacy Guy, only a couple minutes left in this segment, really, for the majority of this show. I want to mention one team, Joe, that I haven't locked in yet, and I don't know if I necessarily want to fade them per se, but you talked Big 12. Based on pedigree, based on history, based on sample size, I'm going to have a tough time not betting Texas to go under 9.5 wins. I'll make the case on the other side, but I'll start with this. Texas has not gone over 9.5 wins since 2009. That is 14 consecutive seasons of going under 9.5. And the under is plus money. We'll talk about it on the other side with just a few more minutes left on Football Full Circle here live on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here for just a few more minutes on FFC. It is Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. All right, Lisi, I brought this up. I don't know if I'm going to bet it, but I might convince myself over the summer months to take a chance. Texas's win total for 2023 is 9.5. The Longhorns are booked as the favorites to win the Big 12. The only issue with that, Joe, is at 9.5, they haven't gone over since 2009. That's 14 years ago. That means 13 consecutive regular seasons of 9 or less wins. And what's on top of that, Joe? The under at the moment is plus money at plus 102. If there was ever a year, it would be this year for Texas with Quinn Ewers as their quarterback. But, Joe, something about me might just lean toward the under.
I'm with you, too, Ben. Their ability to not to step up in big games on the road is a reason why I'm with you. They didn't win the bowl game against Michael Penix on a neutral field. They didn't beat Spencer Sanders in Oklahoma State and Stillwater. Big games on the road are critical to their success. On the road in Tuscaloosa, Alabama's lost one home game since 2016. Baylor always plays them tough. They have to go to Waco. I mean, obviously, the neutral game in Dallas with Oklahoma, they go on the road to Houston. I mean, Kansas State comes there, but they go on the road to Fort Worth, on the road to Ames, and they get Texas Tech at the end of the year. It's not easy. I mean, 10 wins is not easy for a team that hasn't lived up to expectations for a decade. More, maybe even more, 15 years.
At least, very much so, Joe. There were some good years there in the 2000s, but has Texas ever really been here to be called Texas coming back? I'll just say this as well. Texas is booked as a touchdown underdog in Tuscaloosa week number 2. That's on the road in Bryant-Denny. Last year, they were booked as a 3-touchdown underdog at home against Alabama. So if they lose that game as the odds anticipate, it means Texas needs to win 10 of their other 11 games for them to go over 9.5 wins. It's a very high bar to clear. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. The money line is up next on Sports Grid Radio.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move your ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com. Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing surface that's a game changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic, phrasing feels off, writing for a high-stakes client. Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. And now, it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.